Sunrose Yoga Podcast. Reveal your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. Blessings. It's Kelly Connor Sunrose. Come visit sunroseyoga.com, the web home of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. At sunroseyoga.com, you can listen to past podcasts, browse yoga and meditation videos, and read articles on the practices and philosophy of yoga, written by curious and devoted yogis. You can also view all of the show notes, find all of the ways to connect, and view my teaching schedule. Visit sunroseyoga.com today. Hello, my loves, and welcome to episode 92 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. This is Kelly. I'm so glad that you're here today for this practice. I had this epiphany the other day in thinking about my mission in life, and honestly, if I feel like I can be of service to one person, it's a success. So thank you all for showing up and for being a part of that. Today in this class, we keep up the discussion of the eight limbs of yoga as described by the sutras of Patanjali. And today we talk about asteya, non-stealing. And we have a delightful conversation about that. All the ways that we steal, some of them completely unobvious. So I'd love to hear what you have to say about that, or how you work with not stealing, and how that sort of builds on truth, satya, and how that builds on non-violence, ahimsa. So thanks for being a part of this conversation. It's been a delight for me to teach and to introduce some people for the first time to the Yoga Sutras and to the eight limbs of yoga. So thank you. So I have a few announcements. So I'd like to invite all of you who are in and around Portland or happen to be visiting Portland to come visit me in one of my public classes. You can check out my schedule at sunroseyoga.com. And in addition to all of these offerings, I offer private and semi-private classes, both locally in person and via the web, FaceTime and Skype. And all of that can be scheduled via email, sunroseyoga@gmail.com. So in addition to these offerings, I have a couple of special events and workshops coming up. Saturday, December 7th, I have a yoga and collage workshop at Shanti Om Yoga. No previous experience in yoga or collage is necessary. I'll guide you through everything. And in January, I'm teaching a meditation foundations class at Shanti Om Yoga on Saturday afternoons. And continuing that, Saturdays through the middle of February to the end of March, I'm teaching an advanced practices, sort of embodied practices of pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, and dhyana. It's called Linger in the Light of Love. That'll be Saturday afternoons at Shanti Om. Visit my site, sunroseyoga.com, for all of the details. And that leads me to connection. I love to hear from you, from all of you. So please keep in touch. You can call me. You can email me. You can Twitter me. You can Facebook me. All of that delightful stuff. The details are at sunroseyoga.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider donating one time or monthly recurring. That's what helps keep the show going. Thank you. Jai.
So we have been talking about the eight limbs of yoga, and we're sort of at the very beginning of this conversation. We're at the first limb, the yamas, which are the abstentions, or the ethical observations of the yoga practice. And when I think of the yamas, I think of these sort of as, if the yoga is an eight-limbed path, and you're climbing this tree of yoga, the very first rungs on the ladder are the yamas. We've talked about nonviolence. That's the very first step. It all comes back to that. We've talked about truth, satya. And we've been having a conversation about asteya, or non-stealing. And we talked about it a few weeks ago, but it's sort of stayed with me, and I thought we could continue that this week as well. So I'll read first from the sutras. When abstention from stealing is firmly established, precious jewels come. And we talked about how with most of these sutras, there's a very literal or gross meaning to them, gross interpretation, and we can take it out as subtle as the situation warrants. And we talked about how there are situations when we're obviously openly stealing from others, when we're taking or appropriating something that does not belong to us. But that sometimes we do this in thought, when we sort of revert to that loop of thought that plays in our head when we are faced with a certain challenging situation. And oftentimes that is the work of ego. And ego is that voice that tells us that we are not enough, that there's something outside of us that will make us feel whole. And that, of course, sort of has its root in the klesha, avidya, or forgetfulness or ignorance of the true self, which is wholeness, which is peace, which is love. So with all of these, I've been asking you to sort of experiment with them and notice how it feels to consciously practice not stealing and consciously practice speaking truth with kindness and consciously practice nonviolence. So I want to remind you or invite you for the first time ever that the floor is always open, and if you ever have insights about this or any other aspect of the practice, you should feel welcome and invited to talk about it. Even if it's a contrary point of view, even if you think, well, I practice this and nothing happened, it's BS. You know, this room wants to hear it. So, the reason that we came back to this today is because I was cleaning up my home studio, which I share with my dog and my daughter and everyone else who is constantly coming in there and wanting to be in this little room that really can't accommodate that many people. So I'm cleaning it up, and I just picked up my very tattered copy of Meditations from the Mat, and I don't know why, I just opened it, and the book opened to day 147, which I first taught or talked about in class on December 2nd, 2008. And it felt really right for this discussion about non-stealing. It begins with a quote from John Wellwood. Becoming human means discovering our fullness and learning to live from it. And as sort of the commentary to that quote, Rolf Gates, who wrote this book, writes, "Bring your all to your practice. Do not use it as a means to control your weight or your appearance or the effects of aging or anything else. Let your practice be a means to discover your fullness. Be vulnerable. Be sad. Be happy. Be mad. But just be there. Just let it happen. Life is about giving, and through giving we receive everything that we need." Any thoughts? Any insights? It's okay also not to have anything to say.
Well, he has the best little essay in there too about stealing the pair of scissors.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was teaching a yoga retreat
in
Mexico, and he was talking about the yamas. And then, I mean, people in Mexico have nothing, but someone lent him a pair of scissors. And he used them, and then he thought, oh, these will come in handy 3 weeks from now. He stuck them in a suitcase. So he was checking out, and the woman asked him for them, and he had to open his suitcase in front of her and hand them to her. And then he gives this really great little talk about, you know, this idea of stealing. He ties it into being jealous or coveting, or he ties it into the fact that whenever we feel covetous or jealous or unhappy at what someone else has, that we're participating in that idea of stealing. Because basically we're... I mean, he ties it to God. Sorry, this is Southeast Portland. But he either says, you know, God either is or he isn't. And if we accept that he is, we can be released from all these feelings of covetousness and jealousy and just, you know, abandon ourselves to the care of the universe, which is the phrase that he uses. It's a really great little passage on, you know, how he got caught stealing when he was talking about not stealing, and how it kind of launched him into this idea of
the culture of being impoverished in our thoughts. It's interesting if you do like a little inventory, if you take note of instances like that in your, I mean, that is like very, the irony there could not be more startling, profound, but you know, little things in our lives where things pop up that when you're not really tuned into it, you might just sort of like walk right by. Anybody else? So let's find our way to a luminous seat, someplace where you can really feel the lower body softening into the earth, feel the contact that your body makes with whatever you're sitting on. And simply remember the length of your spine. And let your hands find their way to your heart in whatever shape, gesture, or mudra feels natural and significant to you in this moment. And perhaps the weight of the hands at the heart reminds you that you are already whole. That you are already a container for the vastness and wonderfulness of the universe. And that we have the opportunity to remember that over and over and over again. And as it comes to you and as it feels like the time is right, let a breath out, bow your head to your heart. Bowing your head to the pursuit of remembering your wholeness. And slowly release the hands and lift the face and the focus. We'll take our time to come to all fours, hands and knees. Table pose, Chakravakasana. And take your time to get there, really thoughtfully placing the hands, really thoughtfully placing the feet and the knees, and maybe just move your body here. Move your body in a way you haven't before. Experiment. And tucking the toes under, just for a breath or two, let the heart drop down below the grade of the tops of the shoulders, and then let the back of the heart rise up. So you just have this movement of letting the heart drop and then pressing the back of the heart up. And just be aware of where you feel movement as you do that. How far out from the epicenter, the locus of movement, do you feel that? And it might inspire more movement in your body. It might inspire the head to move. It might inspire the hands to more thoughtfully engage with the earth. It might not. So a lot of times we will vacillate between postures that are seemingly very easy and postures that are more complex, to work with this idea of wholeness, fullness. With the easy postures, we sort of feel like, oh, this is easy. I can do this in my sleep, and that's great. We recognize that there's nothing to attain. We're already there, but are we really? How can you engage with the shape? And let those movements slowly come back to a neutral place, where the spine is long, and maybe you're drawing your belly button toward the back of the body. And with a breath out, start to lift the knees from the floor and very slowly press yourself into downward facing dog, Adho Mukha Svanasana, taking your time, sort of maintaining that sensitivity that we first started to cultivate in that dynamic table.
Notice where you're making contact with earth and allow that contact to be meaningful. Allow that contact to maintain that idea of fullness or wholeness as your breaths really fill the container of your body. Sort of keeping with this idea of fullness and wholeness, and without need to steal or covet, let yourself expand with your breaths in, and then instead of emptying or feeling the void when you breathe out, see if you can
continue just to fill the space that you created with your in-breath. And with the breath in, start to lift your right foot away from the floor, lifting your leg toward the sky. And to begin with, we'll keep the hips square to the earth. So the belly button and both of the hips are facing the floor. Your toes are facing the floor. And then let your left heel become a little bit heavy. And start to invite the tops of your shoulders to soften away from your ears. Posture should be steady and comfortable. You should feel this balance of effort and ease. Always. And so with our next breath out, let's step the right foot all the way forward. You can maybe even come to table if that feels better for you and move from there. And we'll take a breath or two just to really establish our foundation here. You might, as you stay on the ball of your left foot, you might scooch your right foot out to the right just a touch so that you've got this stability, this foundation. And you might just press out through your left heel, imagining, if you can, just maybe like a beam of light shooting out of that heel, running parallel to the earth. Now, if this feels like too much, please always know you can lower your left knee to the earth. And then for a breath or two, just let your heart shine forward. You might even look forward, and you might invite the tops of the shoulders to move away from the ears. Oh, beautiful, everybody. Good, now from here, let's just plant our left hand either on the earth or on a block, and bring your right hand to the right hip. And for a breath, grow long from your right knee all the way out through your left heel. And as you breathe out, turn to face the right. Let your face turn to the right and let your heart turn to the right. Keeping your right hand on your right hip. And then let another breath in, allow you to grow long. And as you breathe out, perhaps extend your right hand toward the sky. Good, now let the little pulsations that come with breathing feel free to just happen with your body. You might be moving here, and there's nothing that says you need to stand still or you need to be still here. Just move like you. If things want to curl and unfurl, then allow them to do that. And let's do that all together. Let's take a breath in and untwist, maybe letting your head become heavy. And as you breathe out, retwist. And let's do that one more time. We'll take a breath in and untwist, maybe round your back with the crown of the head be heavy. And as you breathe out, retwist. And then from here, just maybe a centimeter, maybe more, we'll move the left hand out to the left. And we'll feel a sense of broadening between your sitting bones. See if you can feel your sitting bones just sort of widening. And with your next breath in, let's slowly untwist, bringing your hands a little back closer together. We'll bring your hands to the top of the right thigh. You might decide here to lower your knee to the earth, and that's just fine. We'll bring the hands to the heart. And then as you breathe in, circle sweep the arms around and up overhead. And as you breathe out, bring the hands back to the heart. And we'll do this again. And this time we'll straighten the right leg as well. So really just opening and expanding. And then as you exhale, really owning the full version of the pose. And we'll do this a few more times at the pace of your breath, moving in and out. And then let's just get a little creative. If other arm movements are calling to you, let those reveal themselves. And if your body decides, oh, I'd rather do this with my breath in, do this. I'd rather do that than do that. Part of this notion of feeling lack, feeling like stealing, or grasping, or reaching, is we've been taught not to listen to the wisdom that has accumulated in this assemblage of cells. So the more you can listen, the more sensitive we get to teenier and tinier movements, to softer and softer whispers. Someday we wake up in those poses that once we thought were so easy, we can't even believe we're wasting our time with them. They will open up a whole new world. I am speaking from experience always. Now one more, just like this, and with your next breath out, just own your fullest expression of this high lunge. It can look however it looks. Let yourself feel it all the way out to your pinky fingers, to your fingernails. And then slowly bring your hands to the top of your right thigh. And just sort of brace ourselves there as we lower our left heel to the earth. Good. So we have ourselves moving toward Virabhadrasana 2, Warrior 2. And you might find, oh, I want to move things around. Straightening and then rebending. Do that. Extend the arms out into T and let yourself hone your Michael Phelps, your Michael Jordan wingspan. Like, Now take the teeniest, tiniest peek down at your right toes. And this is my really only alignment requirement here, that you can see your big toe to the inside of your knee. Sometimes that knee wants to wobble in, and over time we can do some damage there. Make sure you can see that toe. Yeah. Warrior. Two. With a breath in, let's bend our right elbow and bring the forearm to the top of the right thigh. And as you breathe out, let your left hand first be heavy and move toward earth, and then like you're just tracing a semicircle, reaching up overhead, like reaching for the place where the wall and the ceiling meet. Your arm is right next to your head, and then soften your shoulders away from your ears. Yes. Now, what is your left leg doing? Is it participating? Or is it just making your right leg do all of the work? If it's not participating, find a way for it to come aboard. Maybe engage your feet. Let all parts of your feet make contact with earth. Maybe you just sort of do a teeny tiny flex of your booty. And with the breath in, cartwheel the hands to the earth. And then very slowly press back to downward facing dog. Yeah. What do you feel? Where do you feel? Remember always, we have nothing to prove to the pose. The pose is a tool for us. And this room in which we gather is not a stage. So you don't ever have to feel like you're being judged on how you perform. Now, with a breath in, extend the left leg toward the sky. just find that first, that place where your hips are squared to the earth and you're sort of engaging with this new way of balancing on three limbs. And then see if there's a way to engage your lifted left leg. Maybe the toes spread. And let your right heel become a little bit heavier. Let the tops of your shoulders become a little heavier. And as you breathe in, feel your breath lift you from your heel to the crown of the head. And as you breathe out, step your left foot forward, nice and slow, between the hands. And take a breath or two, really, to establish your foundation. You might scooch your right foot back in space. You might extend through your right heel. You might decide to lower your right knee to the earth. And then take a breath to lengthen from your heel all the way out through your left knee. And as you breathe out, just turn to face the left, bringing your left hand to your left hip. Turning your face, turning your heart. And let yourself notice what you notice, what's happening from your hip to your armpit. What do you notice there? And we'll take a breath to grow really long from your left, from your right heel all the way out to your left knee. And as you breathe out, consider extending your left hand toward the sky, really opening up. And let the pulsations of breath, whatever movements are naturally there, feel free to amplify. So, feel free. You might even let yourself feel a sense of lightness from your right hand all the way out through your left fingers. Now for a breath in, untwist. Really let everything curl and let the crown of the head be heavy. And as you breathe out, retwist. And we'll do that one more time, just at the pace of your breath. Let everything be heavy. And as you breathe out, retwist. And then if it feels okay, take your right hand a little bit wider. See if you can feel a little bit broader between the sitting bones. You can feel some length in that space. Broadness. Light heart. And as you breathe in, untwist. And as you breathe out, reestablish yourself, reestablish your foundation. We'll bring the hands to the top of the left thigh. So you've got this little pulse of light shooting out through your heel, running parallel to the earth. Hands come to the heart. And with a breath in, circle sweep the arms around and up. And as you breathe out, bring your hands back to your heart. And we'll do that again. And this time we'll add perhaps a straightening of the front leg and a bending of that knee. At the pace of the breath. Do what feels right. Do what feels like you. Do what feels like you're challenging yourself in that you're not playing small. I think sometimes that can be a form of stealing. You're hiding your radiance from the world. But then also, know when you're sort of teetering into that showboaty peacock place that we talked about a few weeks ago.
That is the balance, effort and ease. And the next time you exhale, find your way into your fullest expression of this high lunge. Let whatever is meant to unfold, unfold. We'll slowly bring the hands to the top of the left thigh. Embracing yourself there, we'll open up the hips, lowering your right heel to the earth. And if you feel like, oh, I need to move some things around, move some things around. The left knee is bent, the right leg is straight and strong. Engage feet with earth, and then extend the arms out to T, to Virabhadrasana 2, Warrior 2. See if there's a way to feel all of those points of contact that your body is making with the earth, whether that's toes, balls of feet, heels, the outstep. Be conscious of your contact. And then just for a breath, just sort of see how you can engage your hands. Are they part of the pose? Fingers spread, fingers sort of arms sort of floating. And with a breath in, bend the left elbow, bring the forearm to the top of the left thigh. And as you breathe out, let your right arm drop down before semi-circling up and overhead, reaching for that place where the wall and the ceiling meet. It's like we're picking apples. The palm will face the earth, and the bicep is pretty close to the ear. And then let the shoulders soften away. Notice where your heart is pointed. Notice the kind of contact you're making with her. And as you breathe in, cartwheel the hands toward the earth. And as you breathe out, very slowly step back. Downward facing dog, taking your time, feeling your way in, finding your way in, noticing what you notice, feeling what you feel. Now let's play with a little subtlety in our downward facing dog. We did this a couple weeks ago. Something that's been coming up and up in my practice, where if you would imagine that the back of your body is like a smooth, calm pond, and if you were to just lift your heels up the teeniest, tiniest bit, what that would do to the surface. Your head might move. If you just lift your heels and set them down, lift your heels and set them down. Lift your heels and set them down. Yeah. See how far you feel that movement. It's very subtle. And with a breath in, we'll slowly make our way back to table. Let's see if we can find the length of your spine. And then very slowly, we will find our way into plank or half plank. So extend maybe one leg at a time behind you, pressing the ball of that foot into the earth and pressing out through the heel. And then just sort of pausing. And then maybe extending the second leg as well, pressing out through your heels, letting your belly sort of be lower than your heart, and shifting your gaze forward. Now, let yourself really come into your arms and out of your shoulders. So you might bend your elbows just the teeniest, tiniest bit. Almost like you're clawing into the floor and just sort of feeling the back of the body. And now for a breath out, bend the elbows and lower down maybe 2 inches and press back up. And then as you exhale, lower down maybe 2 inches and press back up. And with your next breath out, lower your knees, your belly and your chest, keeping your elbows glued to your sides. So come all the way down. And we'll move in the direction of Bhujangasana, cobra. So maybe move your hands forward just a touch. Maybe separate your feet just a touch. And let yourself first just be at this place of rest. Your chin might rest on the floor. It might not. It doesn't matter. Press the tops of the feet into the earth so much so that maybe your shins lift, maybe your knees lift. And then engage your hands, really make contact between the hands and the earth. And then without lifting up, pull your heart forward. So you've just activated your triceps. And then with a breath in, using that pulling action, peel the heart and the front of the ribs from the floor. Yeah. And then let your shoulders soften away from your ears. I know it's a lot of instruction on this one. And then notice what you feel. Let your shoulder blades be invited just to settle down the back. Tops of the feet are pressing into the earth. Notice how breath moves through the body. And as you breathe out, lower all the way down. And pause. Let go completely. See if there's a way to come to a place of no effort, no muscle. Place of rest. Stay here as long as you like. As you're ready, come onto your back, though. There's no rush. So we'll come onto the back as you're ready. And so from our last posture, cobra, Bhujangasana, and from most postures, but since that's fresh in our minds, you can maybe remember how involving every part of the body in our movement has an effect. Sort of this synergistic effect of every part participating changes things. And we'll continue that as we work towards some inversions today. And we start that process by going deep into the core of our body, sort of from the pelvis to the throat. And we'll begin by drawing your right knee and your left knee toward your chest, and then slowly extending your right foot and your left foot toward the sky. And just for now, let your arms be comfortable. Let them rest where it's comfortable, and you can experiment with what that means. And then with our feet, allow them to embody the sense of relaxed engagement. So see if you can spread the toes just a little bit, or otherwise include your feet in this action. Maybe you'll make like a half
flex half point. Maybe you'll flex the feet, and those have different effects on the body, but you'll know that the feet are participating. You'll feel that elsewhere. You might feel it in your quads. You might feel it in your hamstrings. You might feel it in your belly. You might feel it in your chest. And once you've engaged your feet, see if you can let your legs then sort of settle into their sockets. And if it's possible, allow there to be about a foot of space between your feet. And then slowly we'll extend the arms in the same way, so they're parallel to each other and parallel with the legs, with the palms facing each other. And there might be more than a foot of space there, because sort of feeling the width of the shoulders be our guidepost. And when things are hard, and I know this is hard, it's totally hard for me, just why we're doing it, not just, but part of the reason. So let yourself have that reaction of just, oh, it's hard. And then get more curious. Where exactly are you feeling what? And let your arms settle into their sockets. And then slowly let's hug the knees to the chest. You might really hug them in with a breath in. And with a breath out, lift your head, lift your nose between your knees. And as you breathe in, release your head back down to the earth. And as you breathe out, relax it all. Come to a place of no effort, a place of no muscle. So stay here as long as you like, but as you're ready, you can let the knees fall to one side and slowly make your way to a seat. And so did anyone have any insights or thoughts while we were practicing that shape? What should we call that shape?
Yeah, the fronts of my thighs, really, mm-hmm. Pretty happy with that one. Mm-hmm.
If you changed the shape of your feet, could you feel how that had an effect on things differently? Yeah, isn't that interesting? So we're preparing today to practice a shoulder stand. And this is also one of the postures that we use to prepare for headstand and handstand too, because like we notice with the feet, you know, so the parts of our body that we might not think of having an effect on the posture. Our core is so important for keeping us safe when we're inverting. And our feet are important. They engage our legs and allow our whole body to participate. So, to that end, we'll do a little shoulder therapy as well. We'll inhale, just whatever seat is comfortable is fine. If you want to sit on your heels or if you'd like to sit with a block between your heels, whatever feels right. We'll bring the arms out to T. And first let them be just nice and just relaxed. Like you can even let your hands sort of flop. And just notice what that feels like. When you let your hands flop, where do you feel that? Wrists. I sort of like want to go like hunch my shoulders a little bit. Then engage your hands. Maybe spread the fingers. Let the palms of the hands be a part of this. Now invite the tops of the shoulders to soften away from the ears, and as you do that, your heart might lift a little bit. And feel your shoulder blades invited down your back. And just let your face be neutral. Your chin is somewhat parallel to the earth. But let the back of your head, let your skull soften. And we'll turn the palms of the hands to face the sky. And with a breath in, reach your hands toward the sky. Good. And then for a breath or two, we'll really get streamlined. So your shoulders are way up by your ears. You might even feel like making that dive shape with your hands. And then start to invite the shoulders to move down the back. Everything else might move a little bit. It might feel a little crunchy. You might have to move your hands forward. And then from there, see if you can let the base of your spine get a little heavy. So your belly button might move toward the back of the body. And with a breath out, release. So as we move toward shoulder stand, here are a couple of things. I will, of course, talk you through everything, but a couple of things to keep in mind. That gaze just being straight ahead. It will be straight up at the ceiling, but just like you're having the most fascinating conversation in the world with someone on the ceiling, so that the natural curve of the neck remains. That means that we're not tucking the chin like this and flattening it out. Over time, that, putting the weight of the rest of your body on that, will weaken your neck. So there's that. And we'll use all of the minutiae that we just talked about, inviting the tops of the shoulders away from the ears, inviting the shoulder blades down the back. And as you do that, your heart moves in the general direction of your chin. Now, that might mean a millimeter. It might mean a centimeter. We're talking really subtle here. Feet are engaged. Those are the big points. From there, I have a couple of variations on shoulder stand, because to be honest, it can be a pose that's very weakening on the neck. So I am encouraging people to use a blanket and to have the blanket support up to the tops of the shoulders and have the head be off. See how my head is just very natural? There's lots of space between the back of my neck and the earth. I can fit my whole hand under there. We don't want this. We don't want to put the blanket under our head because that flattens things out. So the traditional way of practicing shoulder stand was to stack heels over knees, over hips, over shoulders. So you get this very rigid looking shoulder stand. Like this. This can be very weakening. I don't have any neck injuries, but even for me, over time, if you practice that way, you might come out and you might feel some achiness. Even if you have perfect alignment, even if you have no injuries, maybe you've noticed this. So I have been, and some other teachers have been, working on a more holistic way of approaching shoulder stand, where the weight of the sacrum is really resting in the hands, and you're not working toward that total straight up position. My head has no pressure on it. I'm still using all of the principles that I use. I'm dropping the tops of the shoulders away from the ears, and did you see how my heart moved toward my chin? My feet are engaged. Everything is elevated over my heart. But that over time can be much more sustainable. To that end, that might have looked a lot like something that we practice quite a bit in here, which is a supported shoulder stand. So we have lots of options. I will talk you through all of them, but I wanted to make sure everyone saw that. Before we move in, does anyone have any questions or any concerns straight out of the chute? Anyone have neck injuries that I don't know about? So, we'll start by coming to our backs and setting up that. So come down onto your back. Your blanket will be folded and underneath your shoulders, but your head is off your blanket, if that makes any sense. And you should feel very natural about where, about your neck and head position. Good. So here in this shape, and it might take some triangulating. Sometimes it's hard to gauge how much blanket needs to be where. So it might feel good to bend the knees and bring the soles of the feet to the floor. And we'll just sort of practice setting the stage here for all of the shapes we're creating with the body. First, let your gaze just be straight ahead at the ceiling. And just notice what that feels like. You might even place your hands between your neck and the earth and just notice how much space is there when you're very natural, very neutral, very relaxed. And then from here, you might just start this process of engaging the arms. So you might turn your palms to face the sky and spread the fingers and just notice where you feel that. And then let the tops of the shoulders start to move away from your ears and just notice what happens. And then let your awareness come to your shoulder blades and invite the shoulder blades to move down. Good, and these are all things, just good things to be aware of, how the body fits together, how the body works together, what's happening where. Good, and so from here, if you're feeling like working with the block in supported shoulder stand, press the feet into the floor and lift the hips, and then place the block underneath your sacrum, underneath the lowest part of your back. And then refind your arm position, where your hands are engaged, your arms are engaged, your face is gazing straight ahead. And from there, drop the tops of the shoulders away from the ears, move the shoulder blades down the back, and as you do that, you might feel your heart move toward your chin. And then one knee at a time, draw your knee toward your chest and extend the foot toward the sky. You might feel good holding onto your block. You might feel good with the palms of your hands facing the sky. Good. Wonderful. So for people moving into shoulder stand without support, from the earth, press your palms into the floor and draw your knees to your chest. And as you breathe in, move your knees away from your chest. And as you breathe out, move them toward you and sort of hoist your hips up over your shoulders. Bring your hands to your sacrum. And let the weight of your sacrum rest in your hands. And then just take a breath here. Take a beat to start working with the alignment. The tops of the shoulders move away from the ears, and right away you might feel your chest moving up. Invite your shoulder blades down your back. Engage your feet. Engage your legs. Good. Beautiful, everybody. Make sure you still have that natural curve of the neck. Very good. Let your breath maintain its smoothness. Is this guy sleeping on you? Do you want support or not support? You start there. Start with there. Good. Now you might want to hold on to this block. There. Good. I'm going to start all the way sort of soft. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Shoulder blades in the counter.
thing, once you're in shoulder stand, don't move your head from left to right. Good, and so one thing that Iyengar, Iyengar is 92, 93 now, and he has said that 12 breaths of shoulder stand a day will keep you young. Let yourself notice where you're feeling things. For a lot of us, I think sort of beginning in shoulder stand, we can have strong reactions. It's one of those poses where people either love it or they're like, oh my God, I can't stand this. And I was in the I hate this pose for probably 10 years. I'm not even joking. And I think it takes a while to sort of find what works, which shapes work for you. And so from here, we'll come out very slowly. If you'd like, you can spend time either in plow, halasana, where the feet move behind the head. Or you can use that as a place to roll down slowly. And if you have come from your block, remember that it is there. And you might come back to that bridge where the feet are on the floor. And you move your block out of the way and come down slowly. And then once you have returned to earth, take a minute. Just let yourself come to that place of no effort, no muscle. Notice what you feel. And as you're ready, we'll come back slowly to a seat. And we'll do some neutralizing postures from a seated position. And as we find our way to a seat, does anyone have any insights or how are you feeling after shoulder stand?
For me, it's sort of the changing of this pose from, you know, this straight up place. Like, I feel like straight up can be much easier than the more holistic. Holistic is harder on the arms, but easier on the neck.
So those, I think, are just things, you know, there are trade-offs. But both feelings are normal. I want to validate that you're normal. It's normal.
Totally.
How about the neck? So traditionally, I always say traditionally with a grain of salt, since these postures are like 150 years old. So, you know, not like going back to the beginning of time. But so traditionally in a lot of schools, after shoulder stand, we were always taught or to practice fish right of way, matsyasana, to sort of reverse the action on the neck. I have found that to be, you know, too much, like eventually practicing fish, but to do some neutralizing postures in between. And one thing that I've really found to be good is to do some twists. And so we'll practice matsyasana, and we'll extend the right leg straight, Arnha Matsyendrasana, sorry. And we'll cross the left leg up and over top. Good, and then just use your right arm to hug your left arm. And then as you take a breath in, really hug and really lengthen. And then as you breathe out, we'll start to twist to the right. You can either sweep your arm up overhead or just
carefully place it behind your back, your left arm. Sorry if I said right. And just take a breath or two just to sort of feel your way into this shape. Let both of your sitting bones be heavy. And if your right leg at the hip crease has a tendency to grip, see if there's a way to relax it a little bit. And then if it feels okay on your neck, you might consider looking over your left shoulder. And one last thing, if it feels okay, you might release your hug on your left leg and turn sort of the fingers, point your fingers toward the sky and place your elbow to the outside edge of your left knee, just sort of using leverage there to twist the body. See if there's a way to really let go through the right leg. Take a breath in, allow your twist to unwind slowly.
And pause and notice. And as the time feels right, we'll switch legs. But just notice whenever you can. And then we'll, again, really hug that left knee into their, sorry, right knee into your chest with your left arm. Let both of the sitting bones be heavy, and as you breathe in, grow long. And as you breathe out, start to twist, placing your right hand behind you. And you can do that either with a big rainbow flourish or quietly. Notice where you might be holding or where you might be gripping. And let go. And if it feels okay on the neck to look beyond your right shoulder, do that. And if it feels okay to switch your arms, that might be nice too. Fingers pointing toward the sky. Back of the arm pressing in to the right leg. And as you take a breath in, slowly untwist. Slowly toward fish or matsyasana. And you can either do this without support, or if you'd like to practice with support, you can either roll your blanket into a little roll or use your block. And that would be to recline over your structure, your support, so that your heart is the highest part of the body. And the arms are either out or up overhead. And if you'd like to practice without support, you would recline onto your elbows, sort of like hanging out with your friends at the beach pose, engaging your feet, lifting your heart, and allowing your head to drop back. And this is a wonderful place just to bring your awareness right into the center of the heart, and might naturally go to that place. To let your breaths in bring a sense of healing and wholeness right into the center of your heart. And you might allow any tension in your mind just to drain out the crown of the head.
And if you're practicing an unsupported fish, so the active version, you might lift your head slowly with a breath in and move your elbows out to the sides and slowly roll the body all the way down to the earth and just pause. And if you have support under your body, you might bend the knees so that it's more easy to sort of roll to one side and to move your support out of the way. And slowly come to a place where you are fully extended on the earth. Either be on your back or on your belly with your knees bent or straight. If your body is supported in any way that feels right. And if there are any small, subtle movements that are still calling to you, maybe moving the feet like windshield wipers from left to right, or slowly shaking the head no. Just let yourself come to a place of no effort, no muscle, where you are completely cradled by the earth. And you might simply send a message to every part of your body that it's okay. Soften. It's okay to let go a little bit or a lot. to remember your body. Become aware of the points of contact between body and the earth. And become aware of the points of contact between the body and the sky. Notice how the body is moved by breath. Feel the expansion of the body with the breath in. And fill the space as you breathe out. And let the movement of breathing inspire more movement in your body, in your fingers and your toes, in your forehead and your ears. And let it spread naturally. Maybe the knees make their way toward the chest. Maybe rock from side to side. Let that rocking carry you to your favorite side. Simply pause. When we pause, we can remember that we are already enough, that we already have what we need. We remember the vastness, that connection between ourselves and everyone else, everything else. As you are ready, when the time is right, start to make your way back to your luminous seat. Thank you.
allow the hands just to find a shape or a gesture that feels natural, feels significant. And I thought we could close today simply by singing one big, beautiful Om, the container for everything. What is Om? We'll take a deep breath in and let it all out and in. Thank you for sharing yourself.